Thank you very much for coming, and may our learning be a merit. Lili Nishmas, Katie Fischel, Mi'irachai, Nechama Bracha, Lea Shalom, Bas, David Mordechai. We are learning Masechet Bechoros, Daf Yomi. We're up to Daf Yud Aleph, page 11 in Masechet Bechoros. So, the topic that we're dealing with in the first chapter of Masechet Bechoros is the topic of Peter Chamor, the Bechor of the donkeys, the firstborn donkey called Peter Chamor, the donkey that opens up the womb of the mother. So you have a mother donkey that's never had any children, and now finally its womb is opened with the birth of a male donkey. So the Torah says you're supposed to take a sheep, say this sheep is in place of the donkey, and then give the sheep as a gift to the Kohen. The Torah also says if you choose not to do that mitzvah of redeeming the donkey, then there is an obligation to chop off the head of the donkey, as we learned, with a big knife, a kupitz. You have to use a kupitz. You couldn't use a sickle or a saw or some other way of killing the donkey. You have to chop off the head of the donkey. And we said that once the head of the donkey is chopped off, there is a prohibition of getting any benefit from the carcass. So we've had discussions for several days. What happens if you haven't redeemed the donkey? Is there a prohibition of getting benefit from the donkey? That's the view of Rabbi Yehuda, the view of Rabbi Shimon. There is no prohibition of getting benefit from the donkey. Does Rabbi Shimon agree, though, that maybe once the donkey's head is chopped off, in the case when it wasn't redeemed, that then there would be a prohibition of getting benefit? So we saw that was a discussion amongst the Amoraim. Okay, so now let's start with the very top of Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. Amar Rav Nachman said, Halacha kedivrei chachamim. The halacha is like the view of the sages, that the sheep that you use to redeem the donkey doesn't have to be worth a shekel. We saw at the end of our learning yesterday that the view of Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda was that the sheep had to be worth at least a shekel. And that's based on a verse in regards to Erechin, where the Torah says, V'chol Erechach Hayiyah B'Shekel HaKodesh. So the Torah says that all of your values should be in the holy shekel. So another way of understanding it is when you need to give something of value, it needs to be worth at least a shekel. The Chacham say, no, the sheep could be anything, tifta, since the Torah says redeem twice, tifta miyad, you can redeem right away. You can redeem with any type of, any value that the sheep might have. And says Rav Nachman, halacha is like the Chachamim. Says the Gemara, once you say that it could be anything, that really means it doesn't have to be a shekel, but how much should it be? Vekama, how valuable should it be? So Amar Rav Yosef, afilu patruza basdanka. Even if it's a very weak sheep, patruza, here Ellen. Oh, yeah. So afilu patruza basdanka, even if it's a very weak sheep, and its value is a sixth of a dinar. Amar Rava said, Afana nami tnina. We already learned this also in a Mishnah. Namely, the Mishnah said, the Mishnah said, you could use gadol v'katan, a big sheep or a small sheep. So a small sheep means it could be a weak sheep, and also a cheap sheep. So the Gemara now says, 1 second, so pshita. So if the Mishnah says you could use a big sheep or a small sheep, what do I need Rav Yosef for to tell me, even a very weak sheep that's only worth a sixth of a dinar? Answer the Gemara, Mao did him would have thought to say, Kuli high low. Well, if it's only worth this tiny amount, a sixth of a dinar, that you can't use. Inamir, I would have thought, Patruzalo, if the sheep itself is so weak, it's a shvach sheep, it's a very weak sheep, that you couldn't use for the redemption of the firstborn donkey. So that's why Kamash Malan, that's why we needed Rav Yosef to tell us that even if it's a very weak sheep, and even if it is not very valuable at all, it's only worth a sixth of a dinar, that's also enough in order to redeem the firstborn donkey. So now, says the Gemara story, Rabbi Yehuda Nesia, so he was not Rabbi Yehuda, the author of the Mishnayos, Havalei Peter Chamor. He had a firstborn donkey. I guess he had a ranch and its donkey was born, firstborn donkey. Shadre Lekamid Reb Tarfon. So he sent this donkey in front of Reb Tarfon to ask, okay, what's the halacha? How expensive is the sheep that I need to give to take its place? Do I need to give anything, in fact, now? Amar Lei, so he said to Reb Tarfon, Kama Bina Lemesa Lekoin, how much do I need to give to the Kohen? How valuable does the sheep that's supposed to replace this donkey, how valuable should it be? So Amar Lei, so Reb Tarfon said to him, Arei Amru, our sages have said like this, Ayin Yafe, if someone's generous, Besela, then you use a sheep that's worth a Sela. Ayin Ra, if you're not generous, you're stingy, a Shekel. Now, if you're in the middle, Beinonis, somewhere in the middle, then you use a Rigya. So Amar Rava, Rava said, Hilchasa, therefore the Halacha, don't use what's worth only a Dinar, you should use what's worth a Rigya. Kama, how much is a Rigya? Tlasa Zuzi, it's 3 zuz. The Rigya is 3 zuz. Now, where does that word Rigya come from? What it means is like this. It's from the word Ragil Hacha, Viragil Hacha. Close to here and close to here. In other words, a Sela is 4 zuz. A Shekel is 2 zuz. So Rigya is in between a Sela and a Shekel. It is 3 zuz. So one second, Kashi Ilchasa Ilchasa. So here you just said, you use 3 zuz. We just said, though, that you could use a sheep worth only a dinar. So what is it? Is it the cheap sheep that's only worth a dinar, or are you supposed to use a sheep that's worth 3 zuz? So the answer is, lo kash, it's not a question. Kan bebali malach. If you ask us, so then we tell you, use a sheep that's worth 3 zuz. Kan bosame atzma. But if somebody doesn't ask, if he doesn't ask and he does on his own, and he happens to choose a very cheap sheep, a sheep that's only a dinar, that's also okay. We're not going to make him redo it. He didn't ask. That's okay. Really, any sheep is okay. But Nidra Rabbanan, they said, you should use a sheep that's worth 3 zuz. Okay, yeah. That, yeah, please.
Have you ever seen an interpretation of Chag Gadya that talks about since it's 2 zuzim, and since a miserly person would use something that's worth 2 zuzim, any connection to that story? Have you ever seen anything along those lines?
I have not, but that's a nice idea. I haven't seen
that. I have to think about how that plays out, but it's kind of...
Well, there's no donkey mentioned in
the... No, I'm not saying it, but the idea that a sheep that you would buy for 2 zuzim is something that's a very cheap sheep.
Absolutely.
Some of the miserly persons.
Well, the head of the donkey was half a zuz, which was... 2 dogs ago.
Was it the head of a donkey? It was the head of an animal.
Yeah, he thought it was
the head of an animal. When Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya came to buy the head of the butcher in Athens, it was half a zuz. That's right. That was the head of an animal. Chivasa didn't say a donkey per se. Yeah, is he?
No, chicken.
Right.
So now,
even less. Even a dinar. Even a ma, bidi eved, if you didn't ask a question. Oh, thank you, if you didn't ask a question. Okay, so now we are up to, I guess, a third of the way down on Yud Aleph Amud Aleph to Amar Reb Yitzchak. So Amar Reb Yitzchak said, Amar Reish Lakish, in the name of Reish Lakish. Nishi Yesh Lo Peter Chamor, Ve'ein Lo Selif Dosa. What happens if you have a firstborn donkey, but you don't have any sheep? So what do? How do you redeem the donkey? As the Torah says, if you don't redeem it, varafto, you need to chop off the head. So what do? How do you redeem it? So the chiddush of Reish Lakish is, podeu b'shavyo, then you can redeem it with the full value of the donkey. You figure out what the value of the donkey is, and you give coins that are worth the donkey, or you give, as we're going to see, vegetables worth the donkey, potato soup, whatever the donkey's worth, you give that amount to the Kohen. So the Gemara now asks, Lemat, who, according to who, did Reish Lakish say this? If it's according to the view of Rabbi Yehuda, who says that you can't get any benefit from Petach Hamor, Ha'amar, but he said, right, he says you can't get any benefit from Petach Hamor until you redeem it. Ha'amar, but didn't he say, Hikpida lav Torah beset? How does he know that you can't get benefit from a petach hamor before you redeem it? Because if the Torah is precise, saying you need to use only a sheep to redeem, so therefore, the Torah is strict with us, that means you can't get any benefit before you redeem it. So that means only a sheep. Sounds like you can't use just its value. Ella, so the Gemara says, this is the view of Rabbi Shimon, who says that before you redeemed the donkey, you could get benefit from it. You're supposed to redeem it with the sheep. So now we're saying if you don't have a sheep, then you can use the full value. Okay, that's the view of Rabbi Shimon. Rav Acha Masni Hacha. Rav Acha taught the view of Rish Lakish this way, namely that Rish Lakish is speaking according to the view of Rabbi Shimon, that you are allowed to get benefit from a Petach Chamor. And when you're allowed to get benefit from a Petach Chamor, you redeem it with a sheep. If you chose not to use a sheep, you can redeem it with its value. However, Ravina Kashilet, Ravina had a problem with this. How could we say that Rish Lakish is explaining the view of Rabbi Shimon? We have a rule, Rabbi Yehuda of Rabbi Shimon. When you have an argument between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, Halacha Rabbi Yehuda, Halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. And V'sasam Lantana Rabbi Yehuda. We have a Stam Mishnah like Rabbi Yehuda. Right? The Gemara said, so we got into the whole discussion of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. The Mishnah says if there is a Safik Petach Hamor, if we're not sure if it's a Bechor firstborn that you need to redeem, so the Gemara says you have to put aside a sheep to take away the holiness, even though you're not going to give it to the Kohen, because it's a Safik. He can't prove that he's entitled to it. So why do you need to remove the holiness? Because if you didn't remove the holiness, you can't get benefit from it. So you see that we're passing like Rabbi Yehuda. So therefore, Ella, Ravina said, so therefore, Vat Amit, you're going to tell me Halacha Rabbi Shimon, that Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish is just following the view of Rabbi Shimon, and he holds Halachas like Rabbi Shimon, that when it's before the redemption, you're allowed to benefit from the sheep, benefit from the donkey, but then you're supposed to redeem it with the sheep, and if you don't have a sheep, he's saying you can give the full value. Ella, so therefore, rather, said Ravina, Afilu Tema, Rish Lakish is according to Rabbi Yehuda. And even though Rabbi Yehuda said that the reason why you can't get benefit from it is because the Torah was insistent that you redeem it with a sheep, the answer is, Lo yehe chamor min ahektesh. Petach chamor shouldn't be stricter than hektesh. Right? In regards to hektesh, we know you can redeem whatever is holy with its value. So Petach chamor can't be worse than hektesh. So therefore, it doesn't have to be only a sheep. You can redeem it by its value. Hello, I'm the Torah Besela Hachmir Alav. The Torah doesn't say sheep to say only sheep, but not anything else. Ella Hakil Alav, to say if you're not going to give the full value, then you could use a sheep, and whatever the value of the sheep is, it's enough. But if you want to use something else, then you have to treat it as if it is hektesh. And with hektesh, so then you give the full value, and then you take away the holiness in that way. The same is true with the Petach Hamor. If you give the full value of the donkey, you took away the status of the donkey. Rav Nachman Barayid, Rav Yosef, Parakle, Beshulki, Beshavio. And in fact, Lahalacha, Rav Nachman, the son of Rav Yosef, had a firstborn male donkey in his ranch, and he wanted to redeem it. So what did he use? He used cooked vegetables. He took cooked vegetables equal to the value of that donkey. He said, the status of this donkey is now on the vegetables. And then he handed the vegetables over to a Kohen. And in that way, he fulfilled the mitzvah of Pidyon Peter Chamor. Okay,
could
so...
Could
you
just give the donkey to the Kohen?
No. Im lo tifdev arafto, you have to chop off the head.
I think you can, just that you don't trust the Kohen to do a Pidyon sale on it.
Oh, I mean, he could do a pidyon sale.
Yeah, because you can give the chamor to the Kohen.
And then he could redeem it. But he's not allowed to use it. We pass like Rabbi Yehuda. You're not allowed to use it prior to the redemption of the sheep.
Problem is, we don't trust the Kohen, apparently. That's what I remember. That he will actually do a pidyon with the sale.
Interesting.
We don't trust the Kohen with the bechor.
Very interesting.
On one hand, we say Kohen is redeemed.
I think that's only in the Beis HaMikdash. I think only in the Beis HaMikdash we were saying Kohen is using Kim Tov Oda. Yeah.
Be careful you say that in front of Danny.
It's not me.
It's the halacha. Amar Rav Shizbi, Amar Rav Huna. Rav Shizbi taught in the name of Rav Huna. Hapod petach amor shel chaveiro. If somebody redeems, once we're saying that petach amor is like hekdesh, so that raises an interesting question. We know that when it comes to hekdesh, you can have someone other than the owner remove the kedusha status if he puts up the money of that holy item. What about in petach amor? So Rav Shizbi says the name of Rav Huna. Hapod petach amor shel chaveiro. Let's say somebody comes to Yaakov's field. He sees Yaakov's donkey give birth to a firstborn son, and he redeems it without even telling Yaakov. Pidyono padui, the donkey is now redeemed. Iboil husan, then they had a question in the yeshiva. Now who has the right to this donkey? Pidyono lapoda, is it the one who redeemed it that now has the right to the donkey? Odom, or maybe pidyono labailam, that he redeemed it, but the item, the donkey, still belongs to the original owner. So the Gemara says like this: Leave it to Rabbi Shimon, Loti Baalach. According to Rabbi Shimon, it shouldn't be a question. Came with Amar Mutar Ba. No, since he says you are allowed to benefit from the donkey before redemption, Mamona de Baalamu. That means that it's the property of the owner. So okay, so there's a mitzvah to give a sheep in its place, but it's still the property of the owner. So somebody else came and did that mitzvah. Fine, but it's still the property of the owner. Kiti Baalach, leave it to Rabbi Yehuda. The question is: According to Rabbi Yehuda, the Amar who says Asur Ba, no, you can't get benefit from it. So now the question is like this. Does that mean that according to Rabbi Yehuda, a donkey prior to redemption is really a certain form of hekdesh, a certain form of temple property? If it's temple property, Rachman Amar Hashem said, "V'nasan hakesef v'kamlo." Whomever gives the money then gets the item. So then the person, the outsider who redeemed it, would now own the donkey. Or maybe came in the kanal b'veini u'beini, since the owner of the donkey is going to get he's going to gain the profits in between, right? If he takes a sheep that's worth a shekel, and his donkey is worth 5 shekel, and he says, this sheep is taking the place of my donkey, so who keeps that extra 4 shekel? He does. So, since he has the right to keep that extra amount, lo demi lehekdesh. Therefore, it's not really like hekdesh, because in hekdesh, you don't get to keep any amount. Hekdesh is redeemed, the full value is given to Hekdesh, and you can keep the item that's left. But there's no such thing as you getting a profit off of the redemption of Hekdesh, so therefore maybe Petra Chamor is not like Hekdesh. So I'm Rav Nachman. Basically the question is like this: how do we understand this law that according to Rabbi Yehuda, before you redeem the donkey, you can't get benefit from it? Is it that the donkey is Hekdesh, it belongs to the Temple Trust with all the laws of Hekdesh? We saw already before that there is a certain similarity to Hekdesh. We said that you redeem it by full value, perhaps, according to Yehuda. So, but how do we understand it? Do we understand that it's really fully like Hekdesh? If it's fully like Hekdesh, and if an outsider redeems it, he would get to keep it now, even without telling you? Or do we say it's not really Hekdesh? The proof that it's not really Hekdesh is because the owner, were to redeem it with a sheep, he gets to keep the price difference. So you see, it's not really Hekdesh, because in Hekdesh, owners don't make profits on the redemption of Hekdesh. And if it's not really Hekdesh, then if an outsider were to redeem it, the item would still belong to the owner, to the farmer. So Amar Rav Nachman, the answer, Tashma, come and hear a proof. We learned in a Braisa. Hagonev Petr Chamor Shel Chaveiro, if somebody steals the firstborn donkey of his friend, Mishalim Tashlume Kefal Labailim. If he stole as a burglar, he has to pay double to the friend. Now, that's a strange thing. Why would he be paying to the friend? You don't pay double with Hekdesh if you steal Hekdesh. So the Braisa continues, and it says, Afu pishein lo achshav, even though the owner doesn't have any rights to the donkey now, yeshu le'acharzman, he's going to have a right later. Yeah, he's going to have a right later. So once he redeems the donkey, he's going to have a right to the donkey. So now money, who is this? Elaim Rabbi Shimon, if it's Rabbi Shimon, Amai Ein Lo Achshav. Kon Rabbi Shimon, as we said, you're allowed to use a donkey before the redemption. And we said it's Mamun Bailim, it belongs to the owner beforehand. So it doesn't work for Kon Rabbi Shimon. El Pshita, so obviously what is it? It's Rabbi Yehuda. It's the view of Rabbi Yehuda. Now, V'yisagotai, if you're going to tell me, if you're going to think to say, Le'akdish medamin alei, that we compare Petra Chamor to Hekdesh, we say it's Hekdesh. If it's fully like Hekdesh, there should not be any payment of double. Hashem says, if it's stolen from the house of a man, you have to pay double. Not if it's stolen from the house of Hekdesh. So there's no need to add to this. This is very clear. So apparently, the Pecher Chamor, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, is not Hekdesh. And if it's not Hekdesh, if some other party, the third party, comes and redeems it, so then he doesn't get the donkey. The donkey stays belonging to the original owner. It's not like Hekdesh. When you redeem Hekdesh, you get it. It's not Hekdesh. It still belongs to the original owner. Okay, so now we get into the topic of Maser Behema. The Mishnah taught, in its long list of laws about Petar Chamor, so the Mishnah had all sorts of cases of Safik. So it said, Achas Bichra v'Achas Shalo Bichra. Let's say there are two donkeys in the ranch. One has already given birth to a firstborn. One has not yet given birth to a firstborn. V'yalda Shnei Zacharim. You come and you see that there are two males now from these two donkeys, from these two pregnant donkeys. So no sin flecha la coins, and you give one sheep to the coin. But let's say you see that there is a zachar and a keva, a male and a female. So you don't know. Maybe the female came from the one that has never given birth before, and it's only the male that came from the one that gave birth before. So mafish tle echad la atzmo. Then you separate one sheep for yourself, because you can't give it. The kohen can't prove that he's right. He's entitled to it, so you can keep it for yourself. And then the Mishnah said at the end of that, Nichnas ladir lis aser. And that sheep goes into the flock to become maser behema. That sheep goes into the flock to be maser behema. So Tanur Rabbanan, we lived in a brisa. Ketzad Amru, what is the meaning of this Mishnah? That Nichnas ladir lis aser, that a sheep of redemption of Petar Chamor becomes part of the sheep, that every tenth of them is Maser Behema. Right? Because we know that all the sheep born to a farmer in a year have to be gathered in one place, and then they're counted out one by one by one, and the tenth gets painted with the red strap, and that is Maser Behema. So, Ketzad Amru Nichnas Ladir Lis Aser. So in what way did they say that case? So it can't be that the sheep was already given to the Kohen and then he gave it back. Because we have a law in regards to Maiser Behema, Halakuach, an animal that you bought this year, or Shanitin Matana that was given to you as a gift, Patrimi Maiser Behema, there is no obligation of Maiser Behema. So Ella, so what does it mean that there's Maiser Behema in these sheep? Let's be Israel, let's say you have a Jew. Shahilo Asara Safik Pitri Chamor and Besoch Besam. He has 10 donkeys that he's a suffix about each one of them, whether it was a firstborn donkey to its mother. 10 suffix Petar Chamors. So what's the law of a suffix Petar Chamor? You put aside a sheep, but then you don't deliver the sheep to the coin. Shemafa Shalena Sara saying, he puts aside 10 sheep, but since they're all his, Uma Asron, he has to give Meiser from them. The Hein Shalo. And they belong to him. They belong to him. So since it's a suffix Pidyon Petar Chamor, it's still his, he doesn't give it to the Kohen, and he still has to give Maaser Behema from it. Misa Yelel Rav Nachman, this is a proof to Rav Nachman. Amar Rav Nachman, Rav Baravua. Rav Nachman's the name of Rav Baravua. Yisrael Shayilu Asara Suffix Pitre Chamorim. If a Jew has 10 suffix donkeys, 10 donkeys that it's a suffix whether they're the firstborn, Mafreshalina Sarasayin, he separates 10 sheep to remove their sanctity, and then those 10 sheep he doesn't have to deliver. Uma Asran, he gives 1/10 of those 10 sheep as the Maaser Behema, as the Karban Shlamim. The Hain and the other 9 Shalom stay his. All right, so now we get to an interesting situation. We learned the halacha. Sheep that are transferred don't have Maaser Behema. That is, if they're given as a gift or if they're sold. What about if they're inherited? Amar Rav Nachman and Rav Baravua. Rav Nachman and Rav Baravua. Yisrael. You have a Yisrael. So he's obligated in everything. He's obligated in Petar Chamor. He's obligated in Maaser Behema. Shehayu lo asara pitrei chamor v'adonai besoch beso. He has 10 firstborn donkeys. And he knows that each of these male donkeys was the firstborn to his mother. Shenaflu mi beis avi imo kohen. Now this Yisrael got it from his grandfather, his mother's father, who was a kohen. Kohen doesn't have to give Petra Chamor. Vos Avimo Kohen, now this grandfather, the Kohen, got it from his grandfather. He got it from his grandfather, who was a Yisrael, the father of his mother, who was a Yisrael. Okay, so we're talking about multiple generations. People must have had kids at a very young age. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says you can have a kid when you're 8.5 years old. So must have had a lot of kids here. So, right, so you have the grandfather is Yisrael. He has a bunch of firstborn donkeys born to him. They were born to him, so when they're born to him, there's a law of Petra Chamor. Then he dies, and his grandson inherits them. His grandson who inherits is a Kohen. And then the grandson who's a Kohen dies, and his grandson inherits them, who's a Yisrael again. So now the Yisrael gets it. So the law is really, since they were initially a Yisrael, there was the law of holiness of Petra Chamor. Now even the Kohen who interpreted it, who had first inherited it, he would have had to have separated sheep for these 10. Now he could have kept those sheep because he's a Kohen, but he would have had to have separated sheep. Now he died. So now this Yisrael who inherits from his grandfather, the Kohen, Mafesh Alein Asara Sein, he has to separate 10 sheep to remove their sanctity, or remove their status. Ooh, Ma'asran, but they belong to him. The same way his grandfather wouldn't have had to have given the sheep to any Kohen. He doesn't have to give the sheep to any Kohen. Therefore, he has to take Ma'aser Behema from them. V'hein Shalom, the other 9 belong to him because he inherits from his father, his grandfather. His grandfather could have separated sheep and kept them because he's a Kohen. So he inherits that right from the grandfather too. So he too separates sheep to remove the Petra Chamor. It would go on, yeah, in perpetuity.
What's the logic? I don't understand.
When you get property through inheritance, right, you get the rights that the bequeather had.
So if you bought your own sheep, then that new sheep, flock of sheep you bought, that would not, you would have to do it.
Ma'aser Behema. No. We're not talking two different issues here. There's Ma'aser Behema, right, and there's Pidyon Petra Chamor. So we're saying here, in terms of Pidyon Petra Chamor, donkeys are born to a Yisrael.
Right.
There's obligation to redeem them.
Right.
These donkeys are then inherited by a Kohen. There's still an obligation to redeem them, because since they had belonged to a Yisrael, an obligation to redeem them took effect. So there's still an obligation to redeem them.
Okay,
but now he can keep it. He can keep what he redeems.
Right.
Now he dies, and a Yisrael inherits him.
Right.
So this Yisrael still has to redeem them,
but he can keep them.
But he can keep it
because he
got he got this property from someone who had the right to keep it.
But if he now buys a new flock, Israel buys a new flock, that has nothing to do with
nothing to do with anything.
Do we know if the original Yisrael who owned these redeemed, or if it was a
no?
Suffolk,
no, he didn't redeem. There's no suffolk. There was a chiyuv to redeem them.
So we know for a fact he didn't.
He did not. Yeah.
So why weren't these killed initially?
This all happened, apparently it happened very quickly. Pretty amazing.
You can do Pidyon, technically, you can do Pidyon even a year later.
Yeah, but we learned a couple days ago that the Pidyon has to be right away.
What did you see that said? It doesn't say anywhere that you have to chop the head off. Yeah, we didn't learn that.
You said you could redeem right away. Tiftim, Yad.
You can chop the head. You don't have to chop the head. It's always redeemed.
So is the continuous avera to have it without chopping off the head?
I assume so.
I guess so.
I would assume so. So now, once we've had this concept in regards to Petra Chamor, now we have it in regards to Truma. Rav Nachman said the name of Rav Bar Avua. Yisrael Shayulo Tzvalim Mimurachim. Let's say a Jew has grain of Tevel, that the pile's been smoothed out. So now there's an obligation of Truma. Besoch Beso in his house. Shenaflo in Beis Aviimo Kohen. He inherited this pile of grain from his grandfather who was a Kohen. Voso Aviimo, now that grandfather himself, Naflulo, he had gotten this grain in Beis Aviimo from his grandfather who was a Yisrael. So there was an obligation of Truma on them. So just like the father, the grandfather who's bequeathing to this grandson, could have separated Truma and kept it for himself because he's a Kohen. Ma'asron, this Jew also separates the Truma. V'hein shalo, they belong to him. Now they have the status of Truma, he can't eat it. So he sells it at the low price of Truma. So now the Gemara says, Utsricha, I need to tell you this halacha, both in regards to Truma and in regards to Petr Chamor. The Ashmin and Kamaisif, I would have only talked about halacha in regards to Petr Chamor. I would say there, you don't have to give the sheep to the Kohen. Mishum de Kamafish V'kai, because the sheep is obviously different from the donkey. So once you've inherited donkeys, and you've inherited also sheep, so that's it. So it's as if it's already done. Because what do you need to do? Avalacha, but in regards to truma, you need to have half rush, you need to separate it. I would have thought, matan shlohum, mukmi shlohum, rodamyan. The trumos that haven't been separated yet, have not been considered separated, so then maybe the Kohen, the grandfather Kohen who had it, okay, so he had it, but nothing was done yet. So now that it comes to the Israel, he has to separate. Aim low, maybe he has to give it to the Kohen too. The Yashmin and Achanif would have told you only in regards to truma. I would have said, because the grain is in front of him. And since the grain is in front of him, the Kohen, it's as if he already got his part, which is truma. Avalasam, but in regards to sheep, came into semi alma boya suyo mafish vikai, since you have to bring the sheep from somewhere else, stand it up next to the donkey. And now say it's in the place of the donkey. Aim a low, so then maybe if that wasn't done, maybe we don't say that he can keep the sheep, that it's as if his grandfather Kohen already did that. That's a tzrich, I need to say both cases. So now we go into a very powerful halacha, and that is the halacha of a Gentile who buys land in Eretz Yisrael. What does that do to the land of Israel? Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Nassan. Rav Shmuel Bar Nassan said, Amar Rav Chanina said, Rav Chanina, Halokeach tvalim memurachim min ovid kochav. Let's say a person buys, piles of grain from a Gentile. So the pile of grain was smoothed out by the Gentile. Ma'asran, so you have to separate Chumas and Maestros, but like the last halor, Vein Shalo, you don't actually need to give them. They belong to you. You can sell the Truma. So you might ask, now what's going on here? Demarchinu Man, who was the one who did the smoothing of the pile? Elaim with Demarchinu Ovid Kochavim. If you're going to say that the Nanju owned it, and then he's the one who smoothed out the pile, there should be no obligation. Dugan Chamarachman, Hashem says you should give the first of your grain, the Lo Dugan Ovid Kochavim, not the first of the piles of grains of the Gentiles. Ella, so the case like this. The Gentile owns the land, and he has a Jewish sharecropper who's his partner working in the land. Demarchinu Yisrael, and the Jewish sharecropper is the one who smoothed out the pile. Merishus Ovid Kochavim, when he was working for the Gentile. So now this sharecropper Maason has to give Meiser. When a Gentile buys the land of Israel, it still has the sanctity of the land of Israel. Since it still has the sanctity of the land of Israel, it could be still obligated in Meiser. And since it was a Jew who did the Miruach, the Jew ultimately does the smoothing, it is obligated in Shumas and Maestros. But the Jew is not really the owner of this grain. The owner of the grain is the Gentile. The Jew is working for the Gentile. Gentiles have seven mitzvos. They don't have a mitzvah of Meiser. It's not one of their seven commandments. So therefore, the Gentile wouldn't have had to have given the Meiser to the Kohen. V'hein shalom. So now, when the Jew buys it from the Gentile, the Jew also owns these Chumas and Maestros. D'amarle, because the Jewish sharecropper can tell the Kohen who asks for the Chuma from him, Kasinim mikoach gavra, my right in this property is from a person, that you wouldn't have been able to make a claim against. You couldn't have taken him to court and forced him to give you Chumas and Maestros, because he's a Gentile who's not obligated in Chumas and Maestros. So therefore, I don't have to give it to you either. I can sell it to you. The same law that we saw the last couple of laws. The same way, right? If the grandfather is a Kohen, so he doesn't have to give the sheep to anybody but himself. If the grandfather is a Kohen, he doesn't have to give the Chuma to anyone but himself. So if his grandson gets the property from him, the grandson also can keep these items. The same way the grandfather could keep these items. So a similar law here, if you're getting the property from a Gentile, since the Gentile doesn't have to give it, Therefore, you could keep it as well. Ask the Gemara. It's not awesome. We have a Mishnah in Demai. If you deposit your grain to a Gentile to watch, or to an Amar, to a Kuti, to a Samaritan, or to an Amaretz, whatever status they had, we assume they still have that same status. You gave him things that Maisel's already taken from. We don't think he replaced it with his own stuff. You think it's still items that Maisel's were taken from, and you can eat it. However, if you give your items, Eitzel Ovid Kochavim, to a Gentile, now it has the status of Kipperos, of the fruit of the Gentile, and we assume the Gentile replaced it, and now you need it with his own stuff. He took it, he ate it, and he gave his own grain in its place. So now his grain is obligated in Trumas and Maisos. You need to re-separate Trumas and Maisos. Rabbi Shimon says it's not a certainty, it's just Demai, it's a suffix. So Amar Belazar explained, now whether you say it's a suffix or whether you say you're sure that he replaced it, you need to separate. Keep pligi. The question is, litan l'kohen. You then have to give this Trumas and Maisos to the Kohen. Tanakama savar vaday chelfinu. The Gentile certainly has replaced your grain with his grain, and therefore vo misninu. Therefore, you have to give the chumas and maestros now to the Kohen. And Rabbi Shimon Savar, no, it's a tamai, it's only a suffix, therefore you could keep it. So now here's the question. So Yasser Rav Dimi, v'kamra la hashmaita. Rav Dimi was saying over this lesson, so Amar le'abaye, so Abaye said to him, time of the masaf, kloni chalfinu, ilo chalfinu. What do you see? Why can you keep the maestros? Because there's a suffix, right? According to Rabbi Shimon, you can keep the maestros, it's a demai. Because there's a suffix here, whether or not the Gentile replaced your grain that you deposited with him with his own grain. Havadei chalfinu. But if you're sure that it's the Gentile's grain, the kuliyama boilem is finu l'koin. And everybody agrees you have to give chumas and maestros to the coin. I v'amar Rabbi Shimon, but didn't Rabbi Shmuel bar Nasan say Amar Rabbi Chanina, name Rabbi Chanina, halokeach tfalim in ovid kocham memurachin. If you buy grain that's smooth from a Gentile, ma'asamein shalom, you could keep the maestros. You don't have to give the maestros because he himself, you couldn't have demanded it from him, so you therefore you don't have to give. So the Gemara gives the following answer. Dilma, maybe we can say kan b'chuma gedola. There's a difference between Chuma Gedola and Kad B'Chumas Meiser. And there's a difference between Chumas Meiser. If it's Chuma Gedola, the 2%, so then even if you buy it from the Kohen, from the Gentile, you'd have to give Chuma Gedola. In regards to Chumas Meiser, there we're saying that it's a suff, if only if it's a, you know, if it's a suffix, you don't have to give it to him. But if you're sure, then you would give it to him. The opposite. In regards to Trumas Meiser, it's where we say if you buy from a Gentile, same way he doesn't have to give, you don't have to give, you can keep it. In regards to Truma Gedola, even if you bought from a Gentile, you would have to give it to a Kohen. That's the Gemara's distinction. So Amar Le, Sabai, then said to Rav Dimi, ask Karasan Milsa. So you've reminded us of the following idea. How do we know that if you buy grain that has already been smoothed from a Gentile, you don't need to give Chumas Meiser? That's the 10% of the Meiser Rishon. Because the verse says, "Vel Levim to daber, and to the Levim you should speak. V'amar to them you should tell them. Ki tikhu meis b'nei Yisrael, when you shall take from the children of Israel the Meiser." Then Varimosa Mimenu, you should take from that Shumas Hashem Masam and Amaiser. That's to tell you, Tvalim Shatulukeach Mibine Yisrael, Atamafishman, Shumas Meiser, and Osna Lakoin. Tevel, that you buy from Jews, you have to separate from the Shumas Meiser and give it to the coin. But Tvalim Shatulukeach Menovid Kochavim, but the Tevel that you buy from a Gentile, Yatamafishman, Shumas Meiser, and Osna Lakoin. You don't need to separate from the Shumas Meiser and give it to the Kohen. Okay, we'll stop here.